Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We've been talking all week, this past couple of weeks, about the profound and beautiful, the life-transforming revelation that the Apostle John, our good brother, the apostle whom Jesus loved. Isn't it interesting? He used to say that he felt so confident in his relationship with God and with Christ. He'd say, I'm the one who Jesus loved. I'm the one. He got it in such a transformational way. What a beautiful thing. So much confidence. He wasn't boasting in putting himself in front of others. He was just saying, I know his love. And he talks about it so beautifully, so eloquently, both here in the Gospels, in the Last Supper Discourse, as well as his letters. The first, second, and third John, which I'd encourage you to read all of. You know, if you're going to read anything in the Bible, I mean, do the daily readings and all that, but I really recommend to you that you read John 14 through 17, 14, 15, 16, 17, just four chapters. Read slowly, take notes, beg the Holy Spirit to help that word come alive in you, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Get on your face, like a good friend, a priest friend of mine from years ago who was kind of a mentor, said, you know, when you read God's word at some point, get on your face and beg the Holy Spirit to put that word in your heart, and he'll do it. He'll do it. We've been talking all week about the central reality of what conversion's about. Penance is about our deeper conversion and transformation. And what it's about is yielding ourselves to the work of God in us. Remember, our transformation and our overcoming of sin, it's not a human achievement fundamentally. Jesus is not standing back and saying, hey, you know, I wonder if Bill's going to get after it here in Lent and take some ground and come and show me what he's done. Jesus is always way ahead. He's inviting us and he's saying, look, I've given you the power of my Holy Spirit, which is the love between the Father and the Son. It's in you. You're a temple of the living God. There's a power that's in you that's greater than the power of the world, the fallen world, and the flesh, and the devil. It's more powerful than all. And I've given you the Holy Spirit, and I've given my life blood so that you could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, so you could become everything you were meant to be. And the key is to follow the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit doing with you and with me during Lent? There's specifics, but fundamentally, what's first on his agenda is putting the first commandment in the first place in your life. And again, it's not just a commandment like rule making. He's not saying get the rules right or get your sin management in right order. It's not an external thing like that. The first commandment is love. It's God, it's responding to the initiative of God's love and loving as God defines it. America, oh, Western world, we got to get this one right. There's false definitions of love everywhere. One of the best places you can go besides just listening to Jesus, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. This is heaven's definition of what love looks like. In reality, friends, there simply is no other love. I mean, there's expressions of love. There's friendship love. There's married love. There's romantic love, things like this. There's dimensions of it. But fundamentally, is it love? Is it an expression of how we relate to other people and to God that's consistent with God's definition of love? 1 Corinthians 13, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. What does Paul say? Love never rejoices in what's wrong. True love never rejoices in what's wrong, but it always wills the good of the other. All kinds of things called love are celebrating things that offend God. There's lots of rejoicing that's going on over behaviors, attitudes, relating to one another in ways that human beings are calling wonderful and great, but offend God. That's rejoicing in what's wrong. So it doesn't matter how you feel. The definition, you know, too many people define love by a feeling. How do I feel? And if I feel good, then it is good. It's a big lie. It's super destructive. It feels good in the moment, but it's just totally inconsistent with what love really is. And the world calls it great, and it's the opposite of what God calls great. So partly what Lent's about is reordering our loves, is what we've been talking about. And who teaches us how to do that? God does. And we can't actually do it without God's help. But he's giving everything for it in the gift of his Son. And his love and his favor and his delight is turned toward us because he wants our hearts to be thrilled and fascinated, exhilarated, filled with joy. The joy that he knows and shares with the Son and with the Holy Spirit through all eternity. From the beginning of time, from all of eternity, he wants you to receive it and walk in it as a gift. And so one of the things we're going to take up in more detail next week is a deeper dive into John 15, where Jesus gives us what is probably the main exhortation in the Bible, in the New Testament, that Jesus wants to give to his disciples, and he's giving it here in the last meal that he shares with them just before he goes to do the deed, to step into the will of God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that act of love is the act through which the human race can be saved. And it's that act of love through which the kingdom of darkness has been brought down and exposed as a lie, and it's been disarmed. And it's that act of love that Jesus wants us to see, to feel, to receive, to welcome. And we can't do that without the gift he's poured into us, into our hearts, we've talked about this week, which is what the Holy Spirit, God poured his love, Romans 5:5. God's poured his love into our hearts. And what that does, the Holy Spirit then, Paul tells us, subdues the flesh. If by the Spirit you put to death, Paul says, the deeds of the body, you will live. It's another description of conversion and transformation. How does it happen? Is it just my will? Is it just my rule keeping? No, it's radical abandonment of ourselves and trust to the movement, to the leading, to the teaching, to the counsel of the Holy Spirit in us. The new law that the scriptures, catechism, teaching of the magisterium help us understand. And the sacraments provide grace and power for us to surrender, because the sacraments are realities that are made present, and they're potent and they're real because the Holy Spirit is at work in them. And they're meant to transform us, not just to wash us clean, but to give us new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, to come into a relationship of love with God. So John 15, what we're going to talk a lot about is Jesus' exhortation that we abide in his love. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what does it mean to abide in his love? You see, he's living for all eternity. Jesus' reality, his central reality, is living in the eternal, unlimited, total, it's hard to put words into, wholehearted love of the Father. Jesus lives in love. Jesus abides in it. It's his home, is in his Father's love. And he was abiding in his Father's love on the cross. He told us, he said, I'm going to the cross because I want the whole world to know that I love the Father. And I know the safest place to be, the best place to be, the most glorious place to be, no matter what the world threatens me with, is to be in the will of my Father. So I'm going to obey him like I always do. This is my food. This is what I live by. This is what life is. And this I know will bring me home to the Father. I mean, I love my apostles. I love my disciples. I love the church, but he's like, I can't lean on their wisdom. Look at Peter. Peter, the one who by the grace of the Father identified me as the Messiah. And I said, blessed are you, Peter. And then 2 minutes later, he turned around and said, don't go to Calvary, essentially. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, 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 get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Peter gave him really bad advice, and he thought it was the right thing to do, but Peter didn't know better at that point in his life. He was humiliated, he was humbled, and even more, Jesus had to let him experience how wrong he is and how proud his heart was and how much he relied on his own flesh and relied on the strength of man, the arm of man, all the stuff that the Psalms tell us and the saints remind us that cursed is the man who trusts in man. And right there that night, when Jesus is doing all the wonderful teaching that I'm talking about these weeks, and he's revealing so much about the Father and about himself and his plan, and then he tells the brothers, he said, you know, tonight someone's going to betray me. Tonight you're going to deny me. You're going to scatter. And then what does Peter do? He leans into him and he goes, not me, Lord. No, I get it, Jesus. I get it. These other guys, they're schleps. These other guys don't have what I have. I will be faithful to you. I'm the strong one here. Let's admit it. I'm not going to deny you. And Jesus, with great affection, who knows all that Jesus felt in that moment as he looked into the eyes of Peter, and Peter's so convinced. I mean, think about it. He's just like totally convinced. I am the man. And I'm going to pull this off. I'm going to stand for you and take the hits, and I'm going to defend you because I love you and you're my master. You're my Lord. And Jesus knows that Peter needs to experience the truth about his own weakness, because he won't abide in Jesus eventually and in Jesus' tender mercy and love. That's going to be Peter's home at some point, but not yet. Peter's relying on himself, and he's going to make himself the right offering, and he's going to be the hero. And Jesus says, tonight, Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, guess what? You're going to deny that you even know me. I could imagine Jesus wanting to say, Peter, because you're so full of fear, you're in bondage. This is the world of flesh and the devil, man. This is the battle. And only I have the strength in the grace of my Father to bring it all down and break its back. Peter, you're still a slave. But Jesus loved him and had mercy. And Peter again said, no, Lord, you're wrong. I wish you knew me better, Jesus, but not this one. You're wrong. And of course, he did exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. And he followed Jesus at a distance. He distanced himself from Jesus because the heat was on. That temptation is all over the church in the West today, friends, because the powers that be, the kings of the earth, I've said it many times, they're rising up. They've got a new set of commandments. They've got a new worldview. They got a new story. They got a new set of things they're going to reward and things they're going to punish. Big question. Only the love of God poured into our hearts in Jesus is going to allow us to be faithful witnesses. If we're relying on our own strength, we're going to follow him at a distance. You've got one life to live, one drama to live in, and Jesus wants to help you fulfill it for the glory of God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.